Good morning, church. I want to welcome everyone here this day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If you're visiting with us, we are delighted to have you here among us. That you take the time to be with us in worship. And want you to know that the Tuttle Church of Christ is a place of faith, family, and friends. Amen. We have a special guest this morning with us. Goes way back to the Dodge City days. Rob and Melissa Cleveno are with us today. And if you haven't had the opportunity to meet them, that you might do that as we are dismissed this morning. Grab your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Here is the question for us this morning, and that is, are you a disciple? Are you a disciple of Jesus? The word disciple is simply defined as one who is a learner, one who follows the teachings of another. A disciple is one who strives to emulate and imitate the life and the teachings of the teacher. So if you say, "I am a disciple of Jesus," that simply means that you are being like Jesus, that you are following Jesus, that you are imitating the life and the teachings of Jesus. And I want you to notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. He says, "If anyone desires to follow me." You know, Jesus, during his earthly ministry, he went out and called disciples. He went out and challenged others to be his followers. For example, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is beginning his ministry and he's walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and there he sees Peter and Andrew. Peter and Andrew, it says there, are casting their nets into the sea, for they are fishermen. And Jesus called Peter and Andrew and he says, "Come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men." It says they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. And then Jesus went a little bit further down the Sea of Galilee there on the shore, and he found James and John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, and they were mending their nets. And Jesus said to James and John, "Follow me." And it says they left the boat, they left their father, and they followed Jesus. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, there's the calling of Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew was actually on the job. He was sitting in the tax collector office and Jesus said, "Follow me." And he left his tax collecting business to follow Jesus. And Jesus still calls disciples. You know, if you're looking at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me. That word "if" there is conditional. There are conditions attached to being a disciple. And we must be willing to meet those conditions. And if we fail to meet those conditions that Jesus lays out, we are not, we cannot be a disciple of Jesus. So I want you to notice, just in our text, the conditions that Jesus lays out. He says, if anyone desires to be my disciple, first of all, he says, let him deny himself. That's in verse 24. You know, if a person steps up and says, look, I am not going to deny myself. I love myself. I'm going to indulge myself. If we are not willing to deny ourselves, we cannot be a disciple of Jesus. If anyone desires to be a disciple, Jesus says, he must deny himself. Well, what is that word deny there? What does that mean? That word deny there is from the Greek word, which means to completely disown and to utterly separate yourself from someone. Completely disown and to utterly separate. It's interesting because in Matthew 26, when Jesus was warning Peter about what he was going to do, and Jesus uses this word deny. It's the very same Greek word. And Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Before the rooster crows, Peter, you are going to completely disown me. You are going to utterly separate yourself from me. And that's exactly what Peter did. When Peter was challenged on his association with Jesus, he says, I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't know what you're talking about. Denial, completely disown, utterly separate. And he did that as he denied Jesus. To deny self is, to deny self is different from self-denial. Deny self is different from self-denial. Because we think of self-denial as, well, you know, I just think I'm going to give up that extra cookie. You know, I'm going to pass on the extra piece of pie. You see, I am practicing self-denial this evening, so I am not going to have that second portion. That's not the denial that Jesus talks about. The kind of denial that he talks about is that in our life, in our mind, in our thinking, in our attitude, in our very soul, that we have completely surrendered to Jesus, that self has no rights. We have so completely given ourselves, we have so completely surrendered ourselves to the life and to the teachings of Jesus, that self has no rights. You know, if somewhere along the line, brethren, we're holding on to self-rights, look, I have some rights here, then we have not completely surrendered. We have not totally given up. We have not fully stepped into the footsteps of following Jesus in discipleship. Because the word deny self there literally means that we surrender so completely to Jesus that self is a non-issue. There is a song that we sing in our songbook that really makes this point. This point of self-denial. If you want to just look at the words, we're not going to sing it. If I tried to lead it, I think everybody would leave. But if you want to just look at the words of song number 695 and you see the progression of self-denial as you go through those verses, take a look at verse 1. It says, oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be. When I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. All of self and none of thee. All of self and none of thee. When I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. And then take a look at verse 2. Yet he found me, and I beheld him bleeding on the accursed tree, and my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Some of self and some of thee. Some of self and some of thee. And my wistful heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. And verse 3. Day by day, his tender mercy, healing and helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Less of self and more of thee. Less of self and more of thee brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Look at verse 4. Higher than the highest heaven, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee. None of self and all of thee. None of self and all of thee. Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee. That verse, that last verse, the conclusion of that last verse is genuine denial as it's presented in the New Testament. None of self and all of thee. None of self and all of thee. Brethren, can we say that? Can we say that completely and genuinely before Jesus? Because he says here, listen, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself. And it's coming down to the conclusion that it is none of self and all of thee. In other words, we have so completely surrendered to Jesus, we have so completely given up that self, it's none of self and all of thee. Tonight, to deny self is to disown self and to refuse to acknowledge the self of the old person. That's not me anymore. I don't do that anymore. I am not going to acknowledge the self of the old person. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24 says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. There it is. What happens to the old person? The old person is crucified. Crucified the old person with his passions and desires. How about the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20? He says, I've been crucified with Christ. There you have it again, crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. The Apostle Paul says, I have crucified the old self. Brethren, we crucify the old self. The old self doesn't keep coming back. We don't keep resurrecting the old self. The old self has been crucified. And we deny and we refuse to acknowledge the self of the old person. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. It is to crucify. It is to put off. It is to deny. Jesus says, if anyone, here's the conditions. If anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, completely disown, utterly separate yourself from that old person. To deny self. But I want you to notice, secondly, in verse 24, he says, take up cross. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. What is that cross? There are people who have ventured different designations of this cross. But here's what this cross is not. This cross is not the common trials and difficulties and hardships that most people experience in this life. That's not the cross he's talking about. This cross is not some handicap or incurable disease. That's not the cross he's talking about. Or this cross is not having an unsaved husband or a nagging wife or a domineering mother-in-law. I've actually heard people in those situations say, "Well, you know, I just have my cross to bear." That's not the cross he's talking about. "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." The cross that he's talking about is the willingness, the desire, the willingness to pay any price. To pay any price. For the sake of Christ. The cross that he's talking about here is the willingness to endure any shame, embarrassment, reproach, rejection, suffering, persecution, and even death for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross that he's talking about here is the suffering or persecution that may come into the life of a Christian simply because we are identified with Jesus. That's the cross. The suffering, the persecution, the ridicule, the rejection, whatever it is, simply because we are identified with Jesus. That's the cross he's talking about. Most of you have probably read Paul's list in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul took up his cross. And he describes that. Beginning with verse 24, he says, From the Jews, five times I received 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was shipwrecked. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils of in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me is my daily concern for the churches. Paul makes a list there of what he experienced, his persecution and his suffering. Why was he experiencing the persecution and the suffering? Simply because of his identification with Jesus. That's taking up the cross. That's the cross he's talking about. Are you persecuted? Are you suffering? Are you rejected? Are you ridiculed? Are you laughed at? Are you shunned? Simply because of your identification with Jesus, that's the cross he's talking about. Fast forward to 2018. What was read to us this morning in the reports that we get from India. And some of those pictures recently showed up on Facebook. Those a couple of those, I don't know, it was two or three brothers there in the preaching school who were attacked by those by those radicals, and they were beaten, and they were whipped, and they were fractured, and you got broken bones. That's suffering, that's persecution. Why? Because of their identification with Jesus. They take up their cross? Yes. Because that's the cross he's talking about. Are they carrying the cross? Yes. Because that's the cross he's talking about. And those things may not hit us that hard in this country and in this society in which we live, and it may come in the form of ridicule and rejection and shunning and being laughed at and being snubbed and being mocked. That's the cross he's talking about. If it comes upon us because we are followers of Jesus. If anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross. And notice thirdly in verse 24, follow me. Follow me. You know, we are to follow Jesus in his example. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says that Jesus has given us an example that we should follow in his steps. And we follow Jesus in service. In Acts chapter 10, the Apostle Peter is there before the household of Cornelius, and he sums up the ministry of Jesus that he went about doing good. And you see that in the gospel, page after page, and example after example, of as Jesus renders himself to service there. That we would follow that example, that we would follow the example of Jesus and go into the wilderness of prayer. You know what it says about Jesus in Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, that he often withdrew into the wilderness to pray. That we would follow Jesus in prayer, that we would follow Jesus in the love that he demonstrated. He said to his disciples in John chapter 13, he says, you love one another even as I have loved you. Or Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, walk in love as Christ also loved us, giving himself for us. How did Jesus demonstrate his love? Did he just talk about it? Did he just teach it? No, he demonstrated it by giving himself for us. That we follow Jesus in that kind of love. And then think about this, that we follow Jesus in faithfulness. You know, you're reading through the Gospels, and it's especially in the Gospel of John, how many times does Jesus say, listen, I did not come to do my will. I came to do the will of him who sent me. I did not come to do my will, but I came to do the will of the Father who is in heaven. And then in John chapter 17, as Jesus is in the very shadow of the cross, and now it's just a matter of hours, and he's in prayer. And you know what he says in verse 4? After he prays for his apostles and he prays for those who will believe on Jesus because of their word, and that's us, it trickles down to us. In verse 4, Jesus says to the Heavenly Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. That's being faithful. That we would follow Jesus in faithfulness, that we would say, look, it's not my will, it's the will of the Father. I'm not out doing my business, I'm doing the business of the Father. And that when we come to the end of our life, we're able to say, Father, I have finished the work that you've given me to do. If anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I want you to take a look at verses 25 and 26, because These passages flow in. As he talks about discipleship, it flows into verses 25 and 26. What is discipleship all about? Discipleship is about eternal life and the value of the soul. Following Jesus is certainly about his example, it's about service, it's about prayer, it's about love, it's about faithfulness, but the bottom line, following Jesus is about eternal life and the value of the soul. Look at what he says in verse 25. He says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." In other words, whoever refuses to deny self, whoever refuses to deny self and makes serving this present life the top priority, that person will not receive eternal life. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. You know, brethren, it's true. We need to take care of ourselves and we need to pay attention to our physical life. But if that becomes the main focus, if that becomes the top priority, Jesus himself says if we seek to save our life, our physical life, and that becomes the main emphasis, we're going to lose eternal life. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But notice, whoever loses his life for my sake, whoever loses his life, whoever loses his life literally, like those apostles did, and like some are doing, are experiencing today, whoever loses his life literally, or whoever loses his life in the service of Jesus, what will he find? He will find eternal life. Following Jesus is about, brethren, it is about losing our lives. Placing the emphasis on that spiritual life, placing the emphasis on that eternal life. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then notice, secondly, it's about the value of the soul. What does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What would the profit be if a person, Jesus is pointing out here, if a person could gain all of the world, all of the wealth of the world, all the treasure of the world, all of the unmined resources of the world, and ends up losing their own soul? What have they gained? What was the profit? And then Jesus says, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know how a follower, you know how a disciple of Jesus answers those two questions? The answer to those two questions is with one word, and that is nothing. Nothing. What does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Nothing. Because our soul is our most valuable possession. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. Because there is the recognition of the value of the soul, and that the soul is eternal, and that the soul is our most valuable possession. So Jesus says to us this morning, if anyone desires to come after me, If anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Or what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Are you a disciple of Jesus this morning? Not just in word, not just in tongue, but are you a disciple of Jesus? Am I a disciple of Jesus in deed and in truth? That is, we have that desire to follow Jesus, and we are in that mode of self-denial. That we deny ourselves. That we have so completely surrendered to Jesus that self is not a priority. That self is not an issue. And have we taken up our cross? If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Are we willing to suffer? Are we willing to take whatever comes? Because we are identified with Jesus. And as we're following Jesus, we're following his example, we're following his teachings, we're following his lifestyle. And we know that discipleship is about eternal life and the value of the soul. Are you a disciple this morning? Have you put on Jesus in baptism? Are you following him closely? Are you laying down, crucifying self? As Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Following him closely and striving to emulate his life and his teachings. If you need to respond this morning by being baptized into Christ, it may be at some point that you've already done that, but you say, I'm following Jesus, but I'm following Jesus afar off. It's really not that denial. It's really not that taking up the cross. There are brothers and sisters in Christ who, in this congregation, who will pray with you and support you and help you. And we have shepherds who will walk every step of the way with you. If you need to respond, as together we stand.